This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, welcome everybody to a victorious edition of the Red Bastard Podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, coming to you from Austin, Texas, the heart of bastard territory. I'm in a good mood. Look, I needed that. You needed that. We all needed that. Liverpool 4, Crystal Palace, 0 touches in our box. It's the damnedest thing I've ever heard of. Like Opta Joe or Opta Stats, like whoever the Opta Stat thing is. They put one out earlier that said they've been doing, since they've been doing data collection on Premier League games since 2008, there's never been a game prior to today that a team hasn't had at least one touch in the other team's box. That did not happen today. On some level, that gives you an idea of the level of dominance that we're talking about. This was Liverpool-Leicester earlier in the season. This was Liverpool flexing its might as a football team in a way that just, honestly, we all needed to experience that. It's been a long last 4 months. You know, the last time we saw this football team play before the COVID break, it was ruthless in its dominance of Atletico Madrid, going up to the point that we were up 2-0. And we lose that game inexplicably. It gets away from us. There was a lot that went down in that extra frame, and we didn't have our – like, there's a lot there, right? I don't need to rehash that. But the performance itself was phenomenal. It was, in a lot of ways, like today. It was just one team playing footy and the other team not. And that had to have been incredibly, you know, I think about a guy like Jordan Ayew, like that had to have been the most demoralizing he's ever felt as a football player. And he was just out there for no reason. Collecting fouls, not getting fouls, never touching the ball in the other team's box. Like that's not what he signed up for today. That's what he had fed to him. It was the football version of Meg Ryan and When Harry Met Sally. It was the non-sexual orgasm. It was Meg Ryan in the diner with, you know, Billy Crystal. And trust me, if all of us Liverpool fans were like had someone eavesdropping in on us, we were at a restaurant and they were watching us watch this Crystal Palace game, the waitress would come over and say, "What are you having?" And the old ladies sitting in the restaurant would go, "I'll have what they're having," because that's what today was. It was a thing that we needed to remind ourselves just what this football team is. That's not the first time we've seen that performance. This Liverpool team hasn't been blowing teams away, but it has been choking teams out like that all season long. We lost our way a little bit. We obviously weren't that against Everton. Today, Crystal Palace never had a chance. That was a 4-0 game that could have been 10-0. And that 10-0 doesn't get into the handball that could have been a penalty. It doesn't get into Virgil van Dijk. Probably, maybe he should have earned 3 penalties on one play and didn't get any. Genie had a couple of point blank shots that just weren't accurate. Right? Salah had one lined up to Minamino late in the game. Like this could have been an all-time romper. And in the end, we all felt a little bit disappointed that we didn't get our 5. It was 4-0. It was a game that we needed to remind ourselves who the fuck we are. That's who we are. Man City wants to go out, and they're a beautiful football team. And one of the things I love about Jurgen Klopp is that he recognizes Man City for their brilliance. It reminds me of these fans. And I don't get the sense that this is a big thing in Europe. So if you are listening in the UK, thank you to my UK listeners, specifically Guy. Shout out. He gets like one a podcast. If this is Itty in Thailand and he's listening to the podcast, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but in America, American crowds inexplicably do this thing where the big dog shows up and the big dog takes one on the chin, and the team that is in the middle of its glory, right? The team that is beating as an underdog the all-time great team, they inexplicably start chanting overrated at the team. Overrated, clap, 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 overrated. Like, we do this thing. And it's like, why are you undermining your accomplishment? Why? You literally are pulling off the event of your season, the upset win, one of the most remarkable. Remember when Norwich beat Man City earlier in the year? Like, we remember that. Remember, it's like, oh my God, that was a big deal. Imagine like Norwich beating Man City. And then in the waning moments, their fans are like, overrated. Why would you do that? That's an all-time great Man City team. Like, your accomplishment is you beat an all-time great. Recognize it. And what I love about Klopp is, look, Man City's, they're an all-time great team. Like, this is Hagler Hearns. This is Hagler Sugar Ray Leonard. This is one of these rare moments in the world where you've got two all-time greats. This is in tennis. This is Nadal Federer. These are two all-time great teams in Man City. And I've been having this thought in my head, like, what do I think of Man City in the Champions League now that Liverpool is out? Because I don't hate Man City. I don't hate their players. I want Leroy Sané to play for Liverpool. I would take Kevin De Bruyne in a heartbeat. I don't hate Sergio Aguero. He's never done anything against Liverpool. I don't hate Pep. I like Pep because Pep seems unnerved by Liverpool, so that makes me like him. Like, I know he's a bit intimidated by us. Cool. I like that. There are teams in the Premier League that I personally loathe. Chelsea's one of them. I can't be helping. Chelsea could be battling communism. And, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I don't know. On one hand, am I rooting for the old Soviets? Is this like rooting for Ivan? That's what it feels like. Like, for me, rooting for Chelsea or Manchester United, that feels like rooting for Ivan Drago against Apollo Creed. Like, what kind of fucking human being are you?
I just want to be different.
No, man. That's the dope-using commie Russian. Can't let him beat us. He's going to kill Apollo and you cheered. Like, I can't be that, right? That's what it feels like for Chelsea and Manchester United when they play anybody. It's Cold War stuff. I don't feel that way about Man City. And then I say that, look, I didn't hate them last year. I respect the hell out of them. Look, as a sports fan, I say this all the time in my other realm when I'm not talking about this version of football, when I'm talking about other sports. I want to see all-time greatness be great. Whenever we go, when there's a major in golf, I want to watch Tiger Woods win. I want to see him accumulate majors. I want to watch something that I'm going to remember because it meant something. I want to see Phil Mickelson win more majors because I want to see him climb the ladder. I want to see LeBron win championships, and I want to see Kevin Durant win championships because I want to see them, how close can they get to Michael? And, like, it matters. It matters how much you win. It matters how many championships you have. I want to see greatness be great. It's rare when, you know, that Norwich win earlier in the year, that was cute and all, but, like, it's not greatness. I want to see greatness. And I look at Man City and I see greatness. And I see Liverpool being 20 points ahead of Man City. And I think the same thing Jurgen Klopp thinks, which is, how could any team be better, 20 points better than this team? And what does it say about a team that is 20 points better than this team? So I respect Man City. They are, you know, when this era is over, we don't, you know, it's hard to know in the middle of an era what an era is going to be remembered for. This, not this era. This era of Premier League football, oh, now we're stretching into, you know, when this thing's over with, we may be talking about like a half decade of football at a minimum. And like that in world football, that's a long time. Because there won't be anything else in the history of the Premier League that we'll quite look back on and point and say, remember, this is Nadal Federer. And add Djokovic in there. We just don't have a third team. This is like that, though. This is two all-time greats winning everything, being all-time great in ways that if they were by themselves, we would notice it more. But because they're two, we're numb to it. It's like, oh, well, there's two of them. But no, this is Nadal Federer. And in 20 years from now, we're going to look back on it. We're going to say, remember Man City and Liverpool? And look, we want to beat them. I want to root against them all the time. But I don't hate them. We are as good as we are because of Man City. And they have been what they were a year ago. They did that because of us. And this era is going to remember it as these two teams together. It will be like in baseball when we talk about Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and the great home run chase. You can't have a conversation without one, without talking about the other. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with us being connected to Man City in some way because we're talking about two teams, both in conversations for all-time greatness. You know, I think that might be the reason why I wouldn't want them to win the Champions League, because that is something that we've done that they haven't done. But if they do it, I wouldn't begrudge them. It would just mean we got to go out and win everything next year. Like, that's the way I think of Man City and the way that they motivate us. And I guess I didn't even know I had that in me. It was not in my mind something that I wanted to go on a little bit of a tangent about. Let me recircle back around to the game. Sorry, just needed to apparently have my Man City thing. Go make out with them, why don't you, Ketch? The game. Everybody was good. You know, in addition to, man, we played really, really great, and that was better than sex. Like, in addition to all that, like, the starting 11, you know, when I saw the lineup, I think we all wondered, is Naby going to get the start? And the lineup comes out, and the reaction was, okay, Naby's not getting the start. But the other reaction was, okay, Klopp's going with his big game 11. And it was mentioned on television here in the States, by the announcing crew that, you know, if this, and it was funny because there's the announcing crew seemed to be of the opinion that, or at least half of it seemed to be of the opinion that Joe Gomez wouldn't normally be first choice ahead of Joel Matip. And look, last week he wasn't, or at least a few days ago. So there is at least some debate inside with Klopp about who his number two is. I think most of us do believe that it was Joe Gomez. Gomez was great today. That was, and I thought Joe was good coming off the bench. I mentioned this in the last podcast that was the best I think I'd seen Joe play fullback, and it got lost in a game where it ended up 0-0. But there were times when I thought to myself on Sunday, like, man, Joe, interesting. Like, Joe is threatening at times, and I don't typically think of Joe as a threatening player. Joe was great. Everybody was great today, and everybody was healthy. Like, you know, we can go player by player, and maybe I'll do that real quick. Like, my grades would – I don't know. You can't grade Allison. Allison gets a gone fishing. Allison didn't have to make a save. Crystal Palace didn't have a shot on target. He barely had to touch the ball. he got a gone fishing today. Like, what do you give? What do you give a goalkeeper who needs that to do anything? Oh, give him a 10. Like, it's either give him a 10, because how could you – there's nothing to punish him for. Or you give him some middling grade, you get a 7, you pass the ball out okay. Like, there's no grade that you can really give him. He wasn't asked to do anything. He gets a gone fishing from me, which is – I would give him, you know – gone fishing is different than incomplete because you got hurt. Gone fishing is what I want my goalkeeper to get every game out, if at all possible. It's a new stat that I've created. It's the gone fishing stat. And as long as it's your goalkeeper, and I suppose you could get beat 8-0 and your goalkeeper could get a gone fishing, but generally speaking, it is a fantastic grade to get. Sarcastically, I suppose it could be given, but as it stands right now, it sounds like the kind of thing I want Allison to have the rest of the season. I thought the rest of the defense was sensational. That was one of the best 5 games that Joe Gomez has played this season. He was really good. I thought Virgil was really good and there was never a stressful moment. It always felt, though, that Virgil van Dijk was in command of the back four. The ball was constantly running through him as they would reverse, kind of pivot it around and, you know, basically as they're inspecting and probing that Crystal Palace defense over the course of 90 minutes. I thought Virgil van Dijk was the steady hand on everything. He was, for me, that was like a 9 out of 10. And there were no goals. And there were no big moments. That's what the best defender in the world should look like on a game when he doesn't do much and you're still like – he still had bad MF on his wallet. I thought outside of the goal, Trent Alexander-Arnold was probably my lowest graded player on the – like he gets – I mean the goal was phenomenal. And we'll talk about the goals individually in a moment. Trent, a little sloppy. The touch still isn't there. Like if you take that goal away, Trent's performance I think looks a little – suspect-ish inside the context of a 4-0 game where if you take that away, maybe it's 3-0 or, you know, the entire complexion of the game changes on his goal. So I would give him an 8, but I say that knowing that he's still – like Robbo came back into the side today and looked completely on it. Andy Robertson did not look like a player that had not played 90 minutes of football or 70 minutes of football. Did he play the full 90 today? Yeah. No. He came out because at the end of the game, Gini Wijnaldum was playing left back, which, interesting development. We'll get to that in a second as well, because we've been wondering with Milner out who becomes the backup left back in the event that something were to happen to Robbo in these final 7 games that are left. Henderson was an option. In theory, Fabinho is an option. Klopp showing us today that maybe Gini Wijnaldum is an option, which, when you think about it, would make a lot of sense because that means you're getting Keita on the field as well. And how do you get, you know, Fabinho and Henderson and Keita and Gini Wijnaldum all on the pitch together? Well, if you need to give Andy Robertson a break, maybe the answer is Gini Wijnaldum in moments getting some left back cover. It was an interesting thing to see when we started watching the game and wondering, well, what is he going to do with substitutions? Because now he can kind of do anything. When Robertson came out, it was like, oh, Henderson's going to go to left. That's what I thought. And it was, oh, Genie's back there. And I thought, oh, And I thought Genie seemed to kind of enjoy himself there. Everybody was having a good time for the Liverpool squad at the end of that game. But something that I'm curious to see if that gets tested again. And Klopp tries that for any reason before the season is over again. But I thought Robbo, I thought he was sensational. Like I thought he was 8.5. Didn't have the end production, but always it was the exact opposite of what we didn't have from that position against Everton. And how different does the team look when that's just coming from both? Even Trent didn't have it. But at all times, it felt like Crystal Palace had to feel like it's coming at us from all sides, and it didn't feel like it was coming at anybody from any side on Sunday. In the midfield, Fabinho gets a 10. that was, like, I think he's been a boss in the middle of the pitch more so than he needed. He was good tonight in the middle of the pitch. He wasn't as, like, he wasn't nearly as sloppy as he was against Everton, which he was so sloppy against Everton. I wonder, does, you know, do we see Genie and Hendo as kind of a partnership with Keita as an attacking threat? Like, what would Klopp do? He went tried and true in the Fabinho, Hendo, Genie, Wijnaldum trio. Fabinho is sensational. The pass, look, the goal, I mean, he kicked it from 40 yards out, 35 yards out. It was one of those classic, kind of now becoming a classic Fabinho goal, which is when he gets a hold of one from 25, 30 yards plus out, I mean, they're screamers. And they've got some movement on him, and he's dangerous. And now you can ask Crystal Palace, just like you can ask Man City. Like, he's got that in his locker. But the pass to Salah that set up the second goal was sublime. It was – and we've seen that from him before. So – and that's what he's capable of when he's in form. So when you watch Fabinho tonight, the hope has to be, can we have – we don't need a goal and an assist from him on every night out, but like that guy in that form, the rest of the way makes us almost unbeatable. When he's playing like that, so it allows us to be so much more aggressive. And he was in complete command. I thought Henderson. He same performance tonight as I thought we got from him against Everton. Like, he just does everything that you need him to do. You know, he was probably a little unlucky to not have, you know, something on. He had a scoring opportunity that he didn't quite take advantage of. Good strike, just didn't quite hit it right where he needed to. And I thought Genie was solid. And Genie gets an 8. Hendo gets an 8. Fabinho gets a 10. And maybe that's not even fair. We dominated the middle of the park so much. You know, I hate to just give 10. Like, I don't know that anybody deserves a 10 if Fabinho can only get a 10. So the other guys, maybe give them 9, but we dominated the middle of the park. I thought Sadio Mane, the first time I've said Sadio Mane's name in this podcast today. And Mane, that was an incredible game from him. And I'm glad he got the goal at the end. I'm glad he got number 4 on the night, because he was everywhere doing everything, and he was special tonight. And it seemed for a while like he was special by himself. But, man, he was Sadio Mane was one of the best players in the world tonight. And, you know, because he's in the front three, you typically give a guy like that, like, you'd only give him a 10 on a hat trick or something like that. His overall body of work over 90 minutes was 9.5-ish. Didn't have, like, the brace, didn't have a stat sheet full of things. His quality for 90 minutes, well, 80, I guess, right, because it gets substituted at 80. Sadio, and I'm president of the Sadio Mane fan club, so I will always speak, I suppose, in a little bit of hyperbole with him. He might have been the best player on the pitch, and quietly the best player on the pitch, because everybody will talk about Fabinho afterwards and Trent's free kick. And Salah, you know, has the goal and was threatening throughout. But, like, Sadio Mane was in rarefied air tonight. You know, that looked like a Lionel Messi performance to me, where at the end of a game, Barcelona might win 2-0 and Suarez has a goal and Rakitic has a goal, and then afterwards you're like, well, Messi was the best player on the pitch, but he didn't have any of the goals. And you're like, well, what grade would you give Messi? And you're like, oh, I give Messi like a 9.5. And you're like, well, if you're giving Messi a 9.5 on a night when he didn't have, like, you know, didn't tear it up on a score sheet, like, you're like, well, but yeah, he was still Messi. Like, I felt like that about Sadio Mane tonight. I felt like didn't have the brace, wasn't, you know, you won't necessarily watch the final highlight film and go, oh, Sadio Mane was best player on the pitch. He was best player on the pitch tonight. He really was. Firmino, I had to go back and watch it. He was better than he was on Sunday. He wasn't as good as the other two up front. And, you know, I hate to say it. I do find myself wondering if we've seen the peak of Bobby Firmino. Tonight was one of those nights where if he were in his peak, he could have had a couple of goals. And I don't know. This doesn't bother me. Because when you've got two other guys who were top five in the world, I think at what they do, you know, Bobby doing Bobby things is more than enough. But, you know, at some point, his output, if it were to stay like this 12 months from now, well, if the Bobby Firmino of tonight and of a lot of the season is the Bobby Firmino all of next season, then I think Liverpool has a discussion to probably have about, at that point, do you start thinking about that as the first replacement that you make as this team starts to age a little bit? You know, I'm not, it's a slight nitpick, right? Because I don't want anybody to think that I'm coming after Bobby. God forbid, no. Like, I'm closer to naming a kid after Bobby Firmino right now than I am for wanting him off the pitch. But, you know, he's such a hard guy to grade. I don't know what to give Bobby. Again, I'd have to really go back and look at what he was doing in a lot of the lead-ups to the goal. And he was involved a lot today. It just feels like the final pieces of the puzzle, the end products, just hasn't quite been there for him. And gosh, I hope it comes fast, because I want this season to end with Bobby going on a 3-4-5 goal streak. I want Bobby to be hot going into next year. And it's just not quite coming off for him. Salah gets like a 9 for me today. He could have had a hat trick. He easily could have scored 3 times a day. And he's still, but this was his first game back. And for him to be as active as he was to get the goal that he got, his end product wasn't quite there either. He had, you know, the goalie came out and didn't clear the ball, and Salah gets a clean look at goal. And we've seen him, that's a goal. Salah will tell you that's a goal he should have scored, and he misses that one wide. Seriously, this could have been 10-0. Liverpool had a lot of opportunities that it didn't cash in, and yet it had a very show-stopping performance nonetheless. The substitutions, Nico Williams was sensational. Don't want to go overboard there, but he gets about 20 minutes. He was lively. He could have had a goal. He was creative. He didn't seem flustered or intimidated by the moment at all. Harvey Elliott comes in, kind of the same thing. That kid wanted a goal. That kid, 10 more minutes on the clock, I think Harvey Elliott gets on the score sheet. And it might have been a race between him and Nico to see who could get there. Naby, perfectly fine. Ox, perfectly fine. And who else am I forgetting that came in? Oh, and Minamino was perfectly fine. And Minamino probably should have had a goal. You know, Salah either could have scored or set him up, and Minamino sliding in at one point, and the goalkeeper comes out and makes a save of the ball before Minamino can get his feet to it. But, like, you know, Minamino's close. And I thought Keita, Ox, Minamino as subs were all fine. You know, nothing out of this world great from all three, but I thought all three were perfectly fine. The young kids did well. And what it leaves us is 2 points away from a championship. Man City plays Chelsea tomorrow. I don't care. I really don't. Like, part of me wants Chelsea to go ahead and get a result in that game. More because I'd kind of like to see Man City give Liverpool the guard of honor. I just think that would be cool, especially considering the relationship that these two teams are going to have historically. The sight of Man City having to give Liverpool a guard of honor will be remembered in video highlight reels historically forever, if that could happen. But I don't care. If they beat Chelsea and we go to Man City next week and need a result of any kind to win, we'll do it. We'll do it. That team today is ready for the rest of the season. It is the thing that will shut everybody up. Everybody up. It's not the same team. Look at their form. Look at that. Do you need us to spank you the way we just spanked Crystal Palace? No, then you need to probably shut up. It's really like simple as that. Everybody just be a little bit quieter today about, next season Liverpool going to be really good. Really? Because Crystal Palace ain't bad. And Crystal Palace got taken to the woodshed today. That reminded me of like when I was 15 and tried to hustle Blockbuster Video. And I had a Andrew Dice Clay tape that I tried to do a little swindle on and swap some stickers on a blank tape. Yeah, that didn't work. And when I realized I had been caught, and the look in my mom's face when she was picking me up from school and had it in her hand, that was Crystal Palace today. They just got caught. They got caught. The difference between those two situations is I controlled that. Crystal Palace didn't control that. They just had an unfortunate draw of Liverpool today. Sometimes the bear just gets you. I saw a video earlier today, like a girl sitting on a rock and some big black bear comes up behind her and she like real coolly like steps up and kind of walks away and the bear leaves her alone. And everybody's like, look at the calmness. So like sometimes that happens. And sometimes like the person tries to quietly sneak away and the bear mauls them. And we're like, hiker died today on the hike and bike trail. A black bear mauled them. Watch out for black bears. Today, Crystal Palace was that person hiking on the trail, ran into the wrong black bear. And they were like, we're going to see if we just sneak over here for like 90 minutes and maybe black bear's killing me. Like, that's what happened. Sometimes you can just sneak away from the black bear. And sometimes the black bear mauls you, doesn't leave a whole lot for anybody to find, and you just had bad luck. And that was Crystal Palace today. And the end result is it feels great. I feel great. And that was exactly what we all needed. And I will say goodbye. I will say farewell. Just again, let's all remember, this is a historic football team. Today was a historic performance. We are 2 points away from a historic championship. And then there's just a bunch of history after that we just get to enjoy the rest of the season for sport. Can't get here soon enough. I hate to say it. Because rooting for Chelsea is like rooting for Ivan Drago. But maybe a little piece of me tomorrow will be rooting for Apollo Creed to get knocked out in front of James Brown. I'm just saying. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.